Blog Talk Radio.
The views and opinions of the hosts do not necessarily represent the views and opinions of the BAIO, the Black African Infrastructure Organization.
Do you believe in the concept of an independent diaspora nation state for the descendants of the transatlantic slave trade, the biggest crime in the history of humanity? Are you tired of Black African people being scattered across a diaspora, living as second and third class citizens in foreign lands? Should Black African people have their own Israel? If you believe and support any of these positions, check out the BAIO social network on Ming. People with various thoughts and opinions on reality coming together with like minds toward a singular goal and common denominator, land, infrastructure, and nationhood. Visit BAIOAfricStand5.ming.com. That's BAIOAfricStand5.ming.com. Black African power and a BB Fahodie. Total African liberation. Peace.
Is this what you want to be their entertainment, their playthings? Their pets? Cowering beneath a whip. And then fighting amongst ourselves. Is this what you want?
I've lived by their rules my entire life. I've protected them, envied them. And for what? To be treated like an animal.
We are not animals! We do have a choice! We can choose to be more than this! We can be slaves! Or we can be!
You are now listening to 13 Revolution on BAIO Radio. Here is your host, Minister Dawood Mohammed.
Hotep, peace, Black African power. It's your host once again, Brother Minister Dawood, bringing the 13 Revolution Experience to BAIO Radio. I am not going to say what I am. You already know what I am, but I am so happy to be back here. I'm happy to be back on BAIO Radio. I'm happy to hear the Mighty Queen Esther's voice and the brother's voice in the commercial. I'm just happy to be here once again. After such a long layoff, sisters, it's been a long time. I shouldn't have left you, but I am back now, and I'm not saying that I will be here every Thursday, but I will be here once a week on the day that is convenient to me to bring the 13 Revolution Experience to BAIO Radio, because the message of the BAIO is needed. And what is that message? It can be encapsulated in three words and one question, as we always say, but it's been a while, so we got to reiterate it. Land, infrastructure, and nationhood, question being, what is the end game? Explanation. We as black people believe in this organization that the ultimate, the prime, the most, the highest understanding of any kind of black nationalism, resistance, any kind of black progressive, black progress, excuse me, any kind of, if you're talking grown-up talk, then you're talking about black people truly acquiring a good portion of land. And if you are serious about trying to be independent, serious about trying to correct the wrongs that we face for hundreds of years as a people, and truly have some control over what we're trying to do, then you want to maneuver your people into positions to control infrastructure. When I say control infrastructure, that means we have to have qualified women and men and women and men, who come together for one common cause, but specifically men and women and men, who know how to run, maintain, and build infrastructure, which means that we are going to have to multiply by the thousands black women and men who are into the fields known as science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. And understand something, brothers and sisters. When you say STEM, when you say science, technology, when you say energy, and when you say mathematics, anybody that's in these fields like myself knows that they all run concurrent. So in other words, you can say, well, we need somebody from science. We need somebody from engineering. We need somebody from technology. We need somebody from mathematics. Well, if you're in the field and you're not a faker, then you know that every field within this particular realm deals and crosses over and bleeds into science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. As an engineer, you're going to use technology, you're going to use mathematics, and you're going to use science. As a mathematician, you're going to use science and technology, and you have to engineer. So, and so on and so forth ad nauseum. And so, therefore, we need to attract these brothers and sisters and the best and brightest of these brothers and sisters who have a desire for their own black nation in their heart. And these brothers and sisters are the ones that we're going to use as pioneers and give them the floor so that they can build, maintain, and as well as expand infrastructure. And the last one is nationhood. And this one I knew in 2016 was foggy to some of you, but I think in 2017, the BAIO and those of my brothers and sisters who are committed, we're going to do a better job of explaining to you what nationhood is, because you don't know. And we know and understand that when you have true nationhood, you have your own nation, first of all. You have a sense of pride in your heart because you own something, you control something, and you're maintaining something that has your face on it, your name on it, and your best interest at heart. I think I need to say that again. You're owning and controlling something that has your face on it, and it has your best interest at heart. Okay? So nationhood is a concept, but nationhood is also a physical condition. And in the Nation of Islam, we are very fond of saying that heaven is not a place, it's a condition. Well, nationhood is also a condition, because if you do not have true nationhood as a condition, you could be in a nation, i.e. Africa, i.e. South America, i.e. many different places where black people congregate and populate and are the majority yet, but you don't have true nationhood. Yes, you have culture that you pass down through generations. Yes, you have land that you are standing on and occupying on. But to have true nationhood, no Caucasian or anybody else comes on your land and shows you how to use it, shows you how to benefit from it. You have been able to take that land, you have been able to till that land, you have been able to develop that land, and you have been able to make that land something that is modern and competitive with the other nations of the world, but most importantly, can provide security for you, your children, and your people. As you can see, I'm back and I'm ready to get it going. And so therefore, brothers and sisters, before I get too excited here, I want to take one moment to say this, and that is this year. BAIO suffered a great loss, and that loss was our good brother, Jelani Akin El. And you know, brothers and sisters, Jelani was a brother that I didn't know as well as Hollop, Max611, and Brother Dev. I didn't know him as well as I knew them, but I had a healthy respect for him, and I had a healthy love for him. And love is a word that many people think I throw around, you know what I'm saying, carelessly. But you should see the people I don't love, and then you're going to understand that that's a distinction that you earn, and it's an honor. And so Jelani was a brilliant financial mind. Jelani had an understanding of the financial system that rivaled, that few rivaled. Jelani was a brother who was deep into Bitcoin, and he was our go-to source to understand not only Bitcoin, but independent currencies, because Jelani was going to be the person that was going to form the currency that we were to use for our nation. So I'm going to devote a segment to him if I get to it at the end of this, brothers and sisters. But if callers come in and overwhelm me, I just want to say, brother, rest in power. We love you. I love you. And the Black African Infrastructure Organization will always have you near and dear to our heart. And most of all, we got the message. We understand what you were trying to say, and we will implement everything that you talked about and then some. Having said that, brothers and sisters, let's get on with the get on. Damn, this feels good. I'm so grateful to be back here, brothers and sisters, representing the Black African Infrastructure Organization, who is Mr. Holicism, Dev, Big Dev, MaxX11, Howard Genesis, Roger Fairley, Michael Mani, Ivy the Queen, and various other brothers and sisters. We are the Black African Infrastructure Organization. We are a group. We are an organization. We are brothers and sisters who have come together and decided that the ultimate goal of any black man or woman that's a nationalist in America is to have a nation of your own, independent nation of your own, off the shores of America. We do not believe that everybody should go to this independent nation. We do not believe that there should be a mass exodus of everybody in this nation. I got to start saying that in the beginning of my shows. But we do understand that the best and the brightest, a small contingent of pioneers, need to go off the shores of America and engage in building, maintaining, and making strong this particular nation. And you, as a person in America, you got children, you got family, you got business, you got inheritance, whatever it is you got that ties you here to America, that you want to stay here. Understand something, brothers and sisters. We are not a simple black back to Africa movement that's going to ridicule you for wanting to stay here. I got children here. You know what I'm saying? Many other people in the Black African Infrastructure Organization do also. But what we say is, just like Israel, where there are Jews here in America and they pledge allegiance to Israel, we want to give you something to pledge allegiance to. You don't feel right pledging allegiance to Zimbabwe for some reason. You don't feel right pledging allegiance to Nigeria. You don't feel right pledging allegiance to various different countries in Africa. You think that they have corrupt governments, they're being overthrown, they have Islamic terrorists, whatever it is you think. But the reality of it is that it's deeply rooted in miseducation that you was taught when you were younger. So look at your brother across seas as an enemy, just like in some ways he looks at you as an enemy. But the reality of it is, we want to give you something to be proud of, and we want you to participate in building something that you could be proud of. Not a corporation, not a store, not a school, but a nation. That's what we want to do. And to us, that is the ultimate goal. It's a lofty goal, but we believe with enough people who are qualified, we can do it. And that gets me to what I want to talk about today. That gets me what I want to talk about today, brothers and sisters. Let me slow down here and let me read this to you. Honorable Elijah Muhammad says to us in Fall of America, this is just perfect. He says to us, the rise of the dead does not by any means mean what you and I were taught when we were little boys and little girls. And even while we are little boys and little girls in man and woman age, we are still pushed on a baby side for understanding of the truth. We the black people are no longer babies. We are babies to no one except God himself. You are fast learning that you are not babies anymore, but on your rise up from the dead knowledge of black self and others. And I say again, you are fast learning that you are not babies anymore, but on your rise up from the dead knowledge of black self and others. Honor Elijah Muhammad speaking. And so, brothers and sisters, let me go along this path and explain to you what I mean today. So I often talk about what I do for a living and what I eat from as an example of various different things to teach on in life experience. And I believe that what you do for a living defines you, because as a people and as a human being born into this world, you will spend the majority of your life trying to carve out a living. And quite frankly, you carve out a living with what you eat from. And if you carve out a living from what you eat from, and what you eat from is mediocre, you live in mediocrity, you're not happy with it, you're bitter or sad, then I believe that you have wasted your life. And you can sit around and say that that doesn't define me all you want to, but what it really means is there's a certain level of lack of maturity, because the reality of the situation is that at the end of the day, and be that as it may, that means that your focus was not really on what it was supposed to be. And so therefore, brothers and sisters, hold on a second, let me ask them, am I coming in clear? Am I breaking up? Let me just see what the deal is here. Okay. Let me know, brothers and sisters, if you hear me breaking up or you hear me go away or whatever, because I got some very important things I want to tell you today. Anyway, okay, so I talk about what I do for a living. I talk about where I come from as far as that's concerned, and I deal with that. And you know that I spent some time in the locksmith industry. And so, you know, I was toiling away in the locksmith industry, making decent money, putting in a lot of hours, thinking that if I showed up early and stayed late, that I would be rewarded. And, you know, I had that kind of mentality, even though I was a black man in the Nation of Islam and had a very militant outlook. And so, therefore, one day, after a long, hard weekend in which I made, you know, them a lot of money and made myself a little bit of extra money, too, I showed up 1 week before my birthday and was told I was fired. 1 week before my birthday, unceremoniously fired. No warning given, no tip-off, just told, we don't have enough work for your skills. Understand something, brothers and sisters. I spent a lot of my adult life in the trades. I spent some time in fast food, but a lot of it in the trade. And it gave me a sense of confidence. It gave me a sense of self-reassurance. And so to go from that to being fired and now looking for jobs, understand something. This was in 2005, and this was the beginning of the Bush recession. So there was really no jobs out there except for telemarketing. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. This day was one of the greatest days of my life. Because if you want to talk about a Negro wake-up call, to me, that let me know that if you don't focus on what you eat from, if you don't invest your time and your money into what you eat from, if you don't invest your space, go to seminars, read books, magazines, hone your skills, all of that stuff, then you are nothing but a number waiting to be called one day, and we all end up getting a Negro wake-up call. I learned that day that if you're not getting better, you're getting worse. And I learned that day that I was not born to just tread water, but I was born to be great. So, you know, eventually I got back into the locksmith industry, and I started experiencing some of the same problems, you know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't feel like I was excelling, being mistreated by white folks. And one day, me and my father had a conversation that I bring to you as a subject today. He said, son, the reason why they treat you like that is because your skills are boy skills. I said, what do you mean by that? He said, son, I made a living in this world doing the things that separate the men from the boys. I want you to think about that for a second. I made a living in this world doing the things, always focusing on the things that separate the men from the boys. In the Bible, that a lot of you say is blah, 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 and you've got your blah, 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 blah about it, it's religion, it's this, it's that. But I want to talk about this for a second. In the Bible, in the first chapter of Corinthians, the 13th, 1 Corinthians 13 and 11, it says, when I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, reason like a child, When I became a man, I did away with childish things. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, reason like a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things. Think about it, brothers and sisters. Think about it this way. If you are in a trade, if you are in a field, if you are in any kind of field of expertise, and you are thinking like a, you're reasoning like a child, what exactly does that mean? That means that you have a young, immature, underdeveloped understanding of what you do. And you have not even learned the language. When a child is growing up, brothers and sisters, a lot of the child's education is centered around learning the language. They have to learn how to talk to other people. They have to learn how to talk to elders. They have to learn to talk to the opposite sex. They have to learn to respect authority. A lot of your education in your pre-K, as well as your 12 on first to 12 years in school, is basically teaching you the language. Mathematics is a language. History is a language. Science is a language. Culture is a language. All the things that you are learning in school, yes, it seems like it's numbers, it seems like it's scientific facts and evidence and things like that, but really what it is a language. And think about it this way. What you argue with on 125th between this crew and that crew, this crew, I can't recall names, this crew and that crew, is not really the information quote per se, but it's how you say it, how you speak it, and what it breaks down to is you have a difference of language. The barrier between us and people on the continent, in Haiti, and Jamaica, is in some ways we don't speak the language. In our lessons, Donald Blige Muhammad teaches us that we must learn to speak the language of the people. So you spend your first 12 years of school really learning the language. And that's why it says, I speak as a child. I reason as a child because until I've gone through enough in my life, until I've experienced enough hardship, until I have gone through enough bad experiences so I can not make the same mistakes, I still reason like a child. But when I have grown up, I put away childish things. And so what ended up happening was I rededicated myself. I rededicated myself. I went and I got the right foundation. I did basic electricity. Then I did basic electronics and was in the honor society. And I went and got my alarm license. And then from there, I went to go get other classes and things like that. And white folks, when I would interview for jobs, they said, damn, you did all of that? Why did you do all of that? And I never answered the question. And you know why? Because the question that you're asking me, is a childish question, and what you're looking at now is a grown man. Let me ask you something. When you look at Donald Trump, when you look at Steve Harvey, when you look at Chrisette Michelle, when you look at Jim Brown, when you look at all of these things, and you repost these things on social media, when you repost these things on Facebook and you have your little commentary on it, and the only thing you want to do is call all these black people coons. When you look at the conscious community and you call it the conscious coons and all this other stuff, when you look at the LGBTQ community and all you want to do is talk about quote-unquote freakish behavior, is that the language? Is that the reasoning? Is that the thinking of an older person, an example, a grown-up? Or is that the thinking, the speaking, the reasoning? The reality of the situation is that you are thinking like a child, you are speaking like a child, you are acting like a child, because unless you are focused on land, infrastructure, and nationhood, you are thinking like a child, speaking like one, and acting like one, and we in the BAIO are asking you to put that away, because now that you're grown, you should put away childish things. We'll be back.
All right, go on there. Oh, her dramatic walk to the microphone.
Hey, Black Joe by Kelsey Cullen. Hey, Black Joe, do you know who you are? Who you really are? Do you know you can be what you want to be? try to be what you can be. A black child. Do you know where you're going? Where you're really going? Do you know you can learn what you want to learn? If you try to learn what you can learn. Hey, black child, do you know you are strong? I mean really strong. Do you know you can do what you want to do? If you try to do what you can do. Hey, black child, be what you can be. Learn what you must learn. Do what you can do. And tomorrow, your nation will be what you want it to be.
Two hands.
Are you?
There's not a time that I listen to that it doesn't run chills up my back. Not only because that's a baby that is speaking like that, but because the content of that particular message, it may have meant one thing coming from Maya Angelou, but I know that if we can control the narrative, if we can teach brothers and sisters to speak as a grown person, if we can teach them to put away childish things, then that particular message, which ends with this, tomorrow the nation will be what you want to be. Do you understand that? Do you understand what those words mean coming out of a child's mouth who has been taught land, infrastructure, and nationhood? Do you have any earthly idea what that the profound change that would make if you taught your children that the top priority, that the grown-up thing to talk about, to think about, and execute is land, infrastructure, and nationhood? What is the end game? A nation of your own, independent, off the shores of the continent of America that you can pledge allegiance to and yet still do business and see family here in the States. Tomorrow, the nation will be what you want to be. It means something totally different than what Maya Angelou meant it to be. Anyway, we're back, brothers and sisters. I'm grateful to all for those who are in the chat room. It looks like it's Colin, it looks like it's Mac, and some other people like that, and I'm grateful to all for my brothers supporting me. Good luck getting into the call queue, because I ain't shutting up until I do at least three segments. I'm not trying to be rude, but I got a lot in here I have to let out. And I almost like, you know, not didn't do the show, but I had to preempt it because I was getting some counseling, because I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, nowadays, my spirituality comes first. Nowadays, my spirituality comes first. I am not arguing with anybody about their choice of spirituality. Don't give it Christian, Muslim, if you practice African spirituality, ancestral worship, Buddhism, I don't care. I don't care. That's childish talk. That's childish language. What I do care is, do you have a system of spiritual renewal, and do you take care of it? Do you cultivate it? Because in this world that we're living in, with people sharing stuff that's going on with Trump 24/7 and trying to scare you, with people talking the ignorance that they're talking about doing it right here, you need some kind of spirituality. If you got that person in your life, who I am usually that person because I'm Minister Daoud, but if you got that person in your life that continues to give you verbal spiritual renewal, who can go into your mind and spirit and take the stress out and help you to understand. Because understand something, brothers and sisters, real spirituality and connection to spirituality is when somebody can take your vision from being tunnel and being narrow to making it wide. The stress and the depression that you experience, that we all experience, is when the pressures of life and the doors that are slamming in on us all the time cause our vision to become so narrow that we are in our own head, and the only thing we can think about is ourselves. And when we start thinking about ourselves, that's when you see brothers and sisters with some stupid, y'all taking my kindness for weakness, nobody cares about me, nobody loves me, this, that, and next thing. No, you think that way and you feel like that because you're getting away from your spirituality and you need a reconnection. We all been there, man. We all go through it. So today what I realize is my spirituality comes first. I know I went through a period of time where I talked about economics and money and don't give me this God and don't give me this incense and ancestors and stuff like that. Yo, you'll never hear me talk like that again. You will never hear me talk like that again. I promise you. And so here we go, brothers and sisters. Let's do some growing up here now. So now, as mentioned a couple of minutes ago, we have been thrashing around with this stupid Chrisette Michele situation. I've been calling that child Michelle for years, and I didn't even know it was Michele. But either way, we, you know, to give you a backdrop of the whole situation, I guess on Donald Trump's inauguration, Chrisette Michele was asked to sing after Jennifer Holliday was asked to sing, and the pressure got to her, and she turned it down. So that should have gave you a sign already. But instead, like I said on former shows, and I'm going to get into it again, there's people in this world, brothers and sisters, who simply don't have self-awareness. There's people in this world where everybody else is driving, and they're going to gun around everybody driving to the open spot only to hit a deer. Trust me, I've been through that. You know what I'm saying? I was riding in the car with this dude, and everybody was, with, you know, all you could see is brake lights on the highway. So this fool goes and guns it around over to the left side, to the hammer lane that they call it, or the fast lane. As soon as he gets over there, hits the deer flips up on the hood, dies, totals the car, trip over. That's a lack of self-awareness. When everybody else is going one way, you don't have to go the way everybody else is. But when everybody is showing caution, don't you think you should show some caution? So either way, let me read this article to you, because I'm trying to get to these 3 seconds, but I got so much to say. Chrisette Michele has spoken out again about her controversial performance at Donald Trump's inauguration. See, that's a sign right there. If you got to keep talking about it, you don't even think it's right. In an interview with Billboard, the R&B singer explained why she accepted the offer to perform with really no hesitation. The first thing I thought was that I have an opportunity to get in front of these people who don't seem to understand who they're talking to and show them what we look like, she said. I felt automatically committed to making sure that I stood up for the women who felt disrespected and the minorities who felt disrespected, communities that felt that they weren't being heard or understood. I thought it was almost my responsibility to not just say yes, but to say yes with a purpose. So that's my reasoning, and no, I didn't think twice about it. Now, you know damn well somebody prepared that, and that didn't come from that ignorant child's mind. Well, let's go further. Michele also revealed that members of her family refused to support her upon learning of her accepting the invitation to perform during the events. I'll say that the backlash I did personally feel came from members of my extended family who decided that they didn't want to speak to me anymore or support my family in supporting me, she said. That's another sign. That's another sign. Your family's rejecting you, fool. So anyway, she was also disappointed when she didn't get to meet the POTUS when she performed. Now, mind you, I never heard this POTUS acronym until I met Barack Obama. So now we're going to use POTUS for Donald Trump, too? Anyway, originally I was supposed to perform directly after his first speech, and I had done that with Barack Obama before, so I was used to that kind of experience. And the woman who organized the event came and told me, now you're going to go first, and he's going to go after you. I looked her in the eye and said, my family has disowned me. If you decide to Google me, you'll see that America is writing about me in their newspapers. I'm the black poster child for Discord now, and he's not going to shake my hand. So, no, I didn't get to meet him. Boom. Okay, so, brothers and sisters, let me start from the bottom and work my way on to the top here. As a child, you're disappointed. You're really disappointed, and you're angry at Chrisette, Michele, Michini, whatever the hell you want to call her, for performing for Donald Trump. And then when she didn't get to shake his hand, you felt a sense of gratitude. I mean, you felt a sense of accomplishment, didn't you? You felt like you were vindicated. Like, yes, that's a win for blacks. You see what I mean? When I say when I was a child, I thought as a child, I acted as a child, but now that I'm a grown person, I put away childish things. You're telling me that it's a win that woman who is a singer didn't get to shake Donald Trump's hand, and it's a loss if she did? Like, what in the world, brothers and sisters? But the fact of the matter is this. Chris sent Michelle a machine, whatever the hell her name was nothing more than something for you to look at while other things were happening. Let me read this to you. Upper East Attack West. The sentence that best epitomizes the teachings of Sun Tzu, the great Chinese strategist from the 5th century BC, is his admonition to make an uproar in the East but attack in the West. This prescription succinctly states another rule of warfare: induce the enemy to believe a blow is coming at one place, but actually deliver it at another B. This advice may seem self-evident. Surely any commander knows that all warfare is based on deception and would never strike where the enemy expects. Yet the history of warfare shows that this simple rule has been followed a good deal less often than it should be. As we have seen in previous accounts, commanders over the centuries have frequently been mesmerized by the apparent vulnerability, or at least the accessibility, of an enemy directly in front of them, and have ordered frontal attacks, usually resulting in defeat and sometimes disaster. Damn. So here you go, focusing on Steve Harvey, Jim Brown, Chrisette Michele, and all these other people. And I will admit that I reposted it just out of fun. But the reality of it is this. My reposting of this article was for a different reason. And you know what that reason is? As a child, because you're a Black Power American and a militant integrationist, you look at Chrisette Michele performing at Donald Trump's inauguration as a loss. That's what you look at it as. Because you're tied to a nation that don't give a damn about you nor your family. And so therefore, anytime you're living on the edge and anytime somebody does something, you look at and you have your win column and you have your loss column up. But a person that is, they understand, number one is this. First of all, Chrisette Michele, when the hell did you become a diplomat for Black people? When did you go to school for it? When did you get experience in it? And who nominated you to be a diplomat? And if you was a diplomat for Black people, what nation do you represent? Because there's no such thing as a Black community. We're finding that out through gentrification. And there's no such thing as a Black nation within a nation. We found that out in the 60s and the 70s. And so therefore, who exactly were you conducting diplomacy for? Did you have a nation that you represented? Did you have land that you represented? Did you have a flag that you represented? And did you have a nationhood that you represented? And these are the questions that grown-ups ask. These are not the questions that children ask. Children want to know who's cooning and who's not cooning. Children want to know who's sinning and who's not sinning. Children want to know who is messing up and who is not, because it makes a child feel better about themselves when you're living down. But when you're a grown-up, what you understand is the whole is as strong as its weakest links, and what you understand above and beyond all of that is very simple. Once you have land, once you control infrastructure, once your people hold near and dear to their heart nationhood, then you choose your diplomats, and you won't meet with anybody until they agree to meet with the right people over the right issues. And I'll say again, you won't meet with anybody until they agree to meet with the right people and discuss right issues. What in the flying hell bleep bleep can Ms. Chrisette Michele get out of Donald Trump? What in the world is going to change that cracker's mind about how to deal with Black people dealing with some sister who sings R&B for a damn living? And if you Google her, she's got no experience in diplomacy. She's got no history in policy, strategy, tactics, or political acumen. Woman, all you know how to do is sing a damn song. That's all you know. That's all you know. And I know you would say, oh, I'm clowning you. But obviously you show that you're not very intelligent, because let's go over the signs that you saw already. Number one, your family wasn't down with it. Number two, the people wasn't down with it. Number three, you wasn't down with it because you keep trying to explain it. Number four, Spike Lee wasn't down with it. And so therefore, with all of these forces against you, you doubled and you tripled down. And not only did you double and you triple down, you saw the backlash of Jennifer Holliday, and you still did it. You still did it. That's ignorant, It's narcissistic, and it shows a severe lack of self-awareness. And not only that, what it shows is that we as a people, above and beyond this whole thing, if we don't invest in our own land, have our own nationhood, bolstered by our own infrastructure, Steve Harvey, Jim Brown, Chrisette Michele, and the rest of them will continue to go to the president of a nation that terrorizes your people with their hat in their hand and ask if they can sing for them and try to shake their hand, and the only thing you get to do is call them a coon. Man, I ain't hardly done. We'll be back.
And it makes me sad that we're even having that conversation, and that tells me that white leaders in our party have failed. We have to accept that there is prejudice that exists within our own party, and we have to be able to have that conversation. We cannot sweep that under the rug. We cannot continue to hide it. We cannot smash voices down when they are trying to scream, "Listen to me, you don't get it." I'm a white woman. I don't get it. I am pleased and honored to be here today to have the conversation. I am so excited that we're here. And I am listening, because that's my job. My job is to listen to the issue. My job is to listen and be a voice. And my job is to shut other white people down when they want to interrupt. My job is to shut other white people down when they want to say, "Oh no, I'm not prejudiced. I'm a Democrat. I'm accepting." My job is to make sure that they get that they have privilege. And until we shut our mouths,
that's right. You've been to the
and
mountain
we listen
top, right?
to those people
right.
who don't, and we lift our people
preach.
Up
preach. That's right.
So that we all have equity in this country, so that we are all fighting alongside each other, so that we are all on
I
the same page, and we clearly get
preaching the Baptist
where
message.
We're going. We're not going to break through this. This is not just rhetoric. This is life or death. This moment
yes,
in our country,
yes,
the Democratic
right.
Party has the opportunity to do something different. We have
but
the opportunity
you know
to
won't.
Really confront the fact that we have not been in alignment with our values. We've been talking a lot of smack.
Yes,
we
yes,
need to make
which,
sure
which
that our actions
right
and our words and our values all match. And around the issue of race, we are so far out of alignment, I don't even know the way back, but I am listening and I am asking and I am talking
well,
to people.
Right there.
I am talking to people of color because you have the answers. You can tell me as a leader what I need to do. And that's exactly what I'm going to do. If
oh, shut up. Oh, shut up. You see, when you think like a child, when you act like a child, when you reason like a child, you would hear that powerful message at preaching from the Democratic rostrum and podium, and you would say, "That's right, go ahead, teach, sister." And it couldn't have been matter if it was T.D. Jakes or the Honorable Rachel Dolezal. You know what I'm saying? Who cares? The reality of it is that all of that is nothing but baby talk. You know, we have a saying in Nation of Islam, we are not permitted to use baby talk. And baby talk basically is the slang that you use on the streets. But more so, that's a very superficial understanding of it. Really, brothers and sisters, baby talk is more so when you start glorifying some of the horrible things that you used to do before you change your life around. So in other words, a lot of times when men feel that they're not relevant enough, they're not building, like, you know, your boy would say, builder, when they're not building enough economy for themselves and they're not building. You know, the thing about it is, brothers and sisters, and I've been saying this for a while, and I'm going to keep saying it, true success and mastery is when you invest in a process. When you want to talk about God, when you want to talk about having something or doing something, knowing that something is in line with God, when you want to know if it's in line with positivity, ancestors, energy, whatever it is, it's when you've invested in a process where you are starting something today and it's progressive, and it keeps on going, and eventually as you work it, it works itself out, and it happens in the future. But when you're not doing that and you're going the opposite way, generally it's something that you get right now with very little effort, and you generally it's a negative sacrifice, and you get the reward now. And who wants the reward now when you can reap the reward of having done something and seen it through and see the progression? And to me, the process of nationhood is what we all should focus on. I don't really give a damn about you brothers and sisters who try to detract from what we're saying by saying, where's y'all nation? Listen, we're already involved in the process. We're way further in the process than you are, because the only thing you can do is sit back and ask us where it's at. We are already planning meetups. We've already been involved in the network, and we have people that we're all together, and we conversate with each other, and we deal with each other. We've put money together with each other that we didn't ask you anything for. So we've already invested in the process. It's you, because you can't see all of the details. You just want to get impatient and naturally assume that we don't have a process going. But we have a process going. We just don't trust everybody. And the reason why we don't trust everybody is we understand that that's how organizations get taken down. And quite frankly, if we let everybody in, y'all would treat us just like y'all treat Umar. And that is, you love us one day, and then the next day you're going to call us, like I saw in somebody's thread, you're going to call us No School Mar. I can't believe I heard that. No School Mar, this dude called him. But you would do that. But you know what's funny? You're the same dude that sent him $50. But in the next breath, you're going to slander him, because that's just how fickle black people can be. But either way, I'm digressing, right? So check this out, brothers and sisters. You know how I do. I'm back into my creativity, and I love it now. And what I'm going to talk about now and use as a parable is this, a parody is this. You know, there's this thing that's going on between quarterback of the Seattle Seahawks future, Russell Wilson, his wife, Ciara, who is a singer, and the rapper known as Future. And, you know, Russell Wilson was in the playoffs, got knocked out of the playoffs, I believe by the Dallas Cowboys, but either way, this is what went down. I'm not sure, maybe the Atlanta Falcons. Rapper Future's appearance at the match between the Atlanta Falcons and the Seattle Seahawks has reignited the silent war between him and his ex, Ciara, who is now married to Russell Wilson. The lowlife rapper was rooting for the Falcons, which ultimately emerged as a winner in a match in a divisional round for the National Football League. The music artist reportedly got carried away after the victory of his home team and sent Falcons jersey to his 3-year-old sons with Ciara, Future Zahir. Okay, so let me explain something to you, brothers and sisters. When you are a child, you look at the situation, right, and you're like, oh, Future this and Future that. Or you're like, oh, Ciara this and Ciara that. And what I've heard is various different things about how Future's not a good father, he's not around the child, he hasn't been in the child's life, this and this thing. Man, from what I understand, Future's the one that got custody of this child, and Ciara keeps losing battles. So I don't know. I'm not on either one side. But what I'm saying to you is this. When I was a child, I speak like a child, I reason like a child, I thought like a child. So when you speak and you reason like a child, you look at the situation and you say to yourself, well, you know, you're on either one side or the other. But when you think like a grown-up and you've been through relationships in your life, like I have and many of us have, you know what you really see here? You know what you really see here? With all of this public warring going on and the two of them using social media and the two of them using Russell Wilson, let me put you up on some game, brothers and sisters. And this has to do with nationhood, so bear with me. You know what you really see going on here? What you see going on is these two really still got feelings for each other. That's right. That's what I said. These two really still have feelings for each other. Because let me tell you something. When I get out of a relationship with somebody, I am not giving them that much airtime, especially if I'm winning. Especially if I'm winning. And it would seem to me that if Future's career is on and he's making money, he's making videos, he's still a hot rapper, why do you care about what Ciara's doing? Go get your son, spend time with your son, teach him about how you Future, you got broads in Atlanta, and keep it moving. You understand? If you're Ciara, you married Russell Wilson, he's a handsome, star quarterback with gobs of money, and everybody's lower than you because, you know, you get to go on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and show your husband in 1,000 different pictures, because that's what a lot of y'all want to do, sisters. You just want a husband to show somebody else, and you do that. But the reason why y'all taking shots at each other is because you still have something for each other. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. Those of you who claim black power, those of you who claim RBG, those of you who claim Nation Within a Nation, those of you who claim Native American heritage, those of you who claim indigenous righteous ancestry, you are like Sierra and Future. Y'all claim to have separated and gone on to do what you got to do, but you got to take shots at your ex. You got to take shots at your ex. You got to show your ex that you still love them. So what you do is, when the BIO come around and we say, if you don't like Future, move on, marry, never talk to this nigga again. That's what we're saying. If you don't like America, move on, establish your own nation, and never have to talk about Donald Trump, Barack Obama, Nancy Pelosi, or any of these people ever again. But you don't want that because your future and what you want to do is you want to send your Atlanta jersey to Donald Trump. That's exactly what you want to do. Because in reality, you don't want land, you don't want infrastructure, and you don't want nationhood. You want to be someplace and stick your chest out and say, we got a community of 20 to 30 houses over here, and we flying our little piece of crap flag on top of it, and that's our defiance against Donald. But the reality of the situation is we still want Donald's money. We still want Donald's infrastructure. And at the end of the day, we want to be able to fly our flag with RBG on it, Star Cross on it, whatever. And on the opposite side, you know what we want to be able to do? We want to be able to fly the red, white, and blue also. We want to be able to fly the red, freaking white, and blue also. So that's what you're doing to me, brothers and sisters. That's what you're doing to me. You're a child, and you're sending jerseys to Donald Trump and the Congress of America. You are still in love, and you can't admit it. You can't admit it. And what I'm saying to you, quite frankly, is this. The messed up person in this situation and the person that is blind and doesn't realize what the hell is going on is Russell Wilson. And you know who Russell Wilson is? Russell Wilson is you brothers and sisters who are just hearing this message, but you're confused. You don't really know if BAIO is for you because you think it's a Back to Africa movement and you can't hear three words that I'm saying. You think that I'm asking everybody to get up and move to some part of Africa, and you've heard all of these videos from these idiots saying they don't like us over there, they're going to chop your head off, they're going to take your money, they're going to charge you $6,000 for 2 months of internet, and you hear all of that and you get afraid, and then you look at the BIO and you know that we're talking strong, and you can feel the power in my voice. But in your mind, in your heart, you are scared to freaking death. You're a chicken. And in your mind, you're saying to yourself, I don't want to do that. I don't want to go over there. But the reality of the situation is that nobody's asking you to go over there. We're asking you to support, and we're asking you to pledge allegiance. That's what we're asking you to do. And if you're really tired of all of these police shootings, and you think that they're terrorism like we think they're terrorism, if you really think Black Lives Matter, stop sending jerseys to Donald Trump. Stop sending Atlanta jerseys to the Speaker of the House. Stop sending them to your local congressman, because what you should do is marry, move on, have a baby, and love Russell Wilson. We'll be back. Differently. I didn't know that. It seemed like the microphone was outside the computer, and I don't know, like, that's a song that I really like. It's called Just Happened That Way, and that's the way I feel about this sometimes. It just happens that way, you know what I'm saying? You just basically, you come upon some knowledge, and it changes you, and it just happened that way, and it could have hit anybody else, but it chose to hit me. Let me tell you, let me take a couple calls, brothers and sisters, because I'm only going to do an hour, and I'm going to perk out, so let me get my two brothers in. I'm going to give y'all 2 minutes, and then I'm bouncing. I got to get up in the morning, and I feel good about this. So caller from the 757, because you were here first. State your name.
Hey.
Where you coming from?
Brother Colin, what's going on, Minister?
Oh, everything is fantastic, brother. How you doing?
Hey, man, I love the show, man. Preaching that fire, man. You know what I'm saying? Every time I feel like I get a wolf ticket upside my head, I'm like, shoot, I gotta straighten up and shit. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, damn, man. You know, I'm like, all right, you know. I was like, good show. Yeah. Let me say something. When you were saying that actor in the Caribbean, my father told me that when I was a kid. He said, you know, my father was a minister. You know,
mm-hmm.
And he's always said that thing. He said, well, one day you're going to be a man. I couldn't understand why my father, some things I would get upset about, but he wouldn't get upset about, you know. And I watched my father,
right.
He's such a strong man, you know what I'm saying? And I think back, and I'm like, wait a minute here. You know, my father at 19 was married. You know, he had two kids, you know, at 19. And had a house, raised a family and stuff like that. You know, went there, worked hard, and still had time.
Right.
To take us out every place and then preach on Sundays, church sermon on Sunday mornings, you know?
Mm-hmm.
What we have in Black America is this. What we have in Black America is this. We basically are what I call arrested development, you know? Our adulthood never shines, you know what I'm saying? Because in order for us to be adults, what that means is we're going to have to one day confront white America and their domination over us. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
We act
yes,
like
sir.
Children. In other words, basically everything is, what can you do for me? I'm dissatisfied, this and the other thing. But when we say something about, well, if Black America, it's obvious. It's obvious with all the police shootings, right? This is never going to go away. It's obvious
right.
that white America is completely unapologetic about slavery. Unapologetic about the condition of our people. And even when you have someone in, like Donald Trump saying, well, you know, something the Black people aren't getting their fish. In other words, basically, they're saying that when you look at Detroit, Chicago, and Philadelphia, and all these cities that are crumbling and the gentrification, in other words, basically, even white America is going to say like this, either we're going to forcibly crush Black people into submission, or you're going to get a submission, or something, some sort of upheaval has to happen, right? Because some,
right.
sooner or later, Black people are going to wake up and say, wait a minute here. Why are we going through this? Me, for the most part, I can never understand for the life of me, what do the Black people love about America so much? You know, I'm not understanding, I'm not getting. And then it dawned on me, like when you said the show, we think like a child. If you take a child, you beat them and everything, that child's still going to love you. You know? You know,
right,
a child, you can whip a child's mind. You remember that episode of Good Time with Penny, where Janet Jackson was Penny? Remember that?
Yep.
And Chipfield was the mother. You remember that? And it's your mom, this is
mm-hmm.
my fault. Remember that? But that's a child.
Mm-hmm.
The same Black people, when you talk about America and having a nation on, the first thing they'll do is, even when they claim themselves to be Black power and everything, first thing they're going to do is defend America. First thing they're going to do is defend white people. You know, they'll defend white people. Richard Wright said this years ago. He said he left America, and he basically was angry. And if you look at his books, you know, people don't talk about Richard Wright that much because not only did he condemn white people, but he also condemned Black people. You know, like you said just a little while ago, never underestimate the foolishness and the sickness and sick mind of Black people in America. We cannot let anybody just come into BAIO and everything because we know the Black man's mind and the American woman's mind is sick. You know, we look at the same thing,
right.
What's going on in the conscious community, right? I'm seeing the same thing. What's the difference between the conscious community and the streets? I'm saying to myself, we have brothers out here, and let me tell you something. These people are listening to what we're saying, right? They're listening to what we're saying, land, religion, family, all stuff. They don't want to be a part of that. Who do they talk about? They want to talk about Sarasota Seti, Polite. They want to talk about all this stuff like this. The same freaking garbage. You know, if you think these people are no good and they hustle the people, why not support the BAIO? It's like
right.
they're saying, well, geez, you guys seem like you're serious. Yes, that's what an adult does. An adult is serious. When we talk about nationhood, we're talking about being serious. One day, yes, we're going to be called before the U.S. Senate. What are you guys all about? You know, what are you guys, yes, called before world bodies of government. And I'm ready for that day. I'm ready for that scrutiny. You know, but these people want to basically want to beat around the bush and everything. You had 8 years of Barack Obama. Now, the same people, for 8 years, they bashed Barack Obama. He didn't do nothing for him. He didn't do nothing for blah, 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 blah. You weren't ready for to do anything with Barack Obama. And then, not only that, Trump is calling your bluff. You say, okay, we're investing in the NSA. No, you don't want that. Why? Because you want something to complain about. You don't want a solution to crime in Black America. You don't want a solution to poverty. You don't want education. You don't want opportunity. You are satisfied in your thing because it's comforting knowing that you have a chip on your shoulder. So instead of saying, look, you know, it's like you live in your parents' house. You don't like their rules. You don't like all the stuff, but you don't want to move out and leave or move out on your own.
Right.
You don't like your job. You don't like what you're getting paid. You don't like the way your boss treats you. Instead of getting a better education and improving yourself and moving on, you know, saying you want to sit there for 20 years. And then what happens is one day you go shoot up the job. You ever see that? People are like 20 years old. You just came one day and shot up everybody. That's the mentality what we have right now. Why didn't that person just quit the job and find a better job?
So
therefore, the BAIO is simple. You know, when I say everybody has to leave. But like the Jews knew that after Nazi Germany, after the persecution, it wasn't just Germany. Jews were persecuted in Russia. They were persecuted in Hungary. They'll persecute everywhere they go. They said we need a state of our own for psychological reasons. That we know that if something ever happens like this again, we have a sanctuary, a safe haven. Black people in America do not have that. You know, we the sovereignty of America, the manifest destiny of white men in America, is seen to shining sea. America, and I studied something, and I want to reveal this, right? One of the reasons why America is we're no really threat to them. Is because America, unlike the only threat America really has is on the southern border, right? America's coastline, in the early 1800s, right? One thing America did was it secured its coastline. And then it had the Monroe Doctrine that said any foreign power that comes into this hemisphere, America is considered an act of aggression. That means that when you have slaves on the plantation and everything, there was nobody going to run up on one of these plantations and liberate you. That's why they invaded Haiti in 1915. Any sort of threat to America's coastline, America's sovereignty, from sea to shining sea. So in other words, basically, you have absolutely no chance of any sort of uprising in America because inside of the American border, the American government can do anything they want to you. Outside of America, America shoots a person in Afghanistan. It has to answer to the world bodies of government. Was it justified? You got the rules of engagement, the Geneva Convention, all these things like that. No such thing exists on America's streets. The police can shoot you anytime they want to, and there's nobody, no one you can go to. No world body because it's called a domestic situation. And Trump said something interesting. And listen to this very carefully. He says, we're all Americans, right? You know what that means? That means that basically is whatever problems we have in America, forget going to the UN, forget going to the world, to the Hague or anything like that. We're all so-called Americans. In other words, basically he just inserted sovereignty over the Black population of America. Now we have to step up. And I know since he said that, everyone's been real quiet. Remember I said on my post? Everyone's been real quiet. That has real ramifications. So in other words, you're telling me I can't be a Pan-Africanist no more. I can't be involved with Nigeria. I can't be involved with going on in Angola. I can't be involved with South Africa. I can't be involved with the African Union. I'm supposed to be surrender all that potential of unity or what's going on in China or whatever around the world. I just got to be an American. We're going into a phase of American nationalism. We're in America in a nationalistic phase. So in other words, basically, what is the Black man in America going to do when America starts shutting its borders down and basically looks suspicious of anybody that either deals outside of America or anybody who comes into America? These are the questions we have to ask. So that means if you basically don't understand, that means all your marching, all that stuff means absolutely nothing. Because as long as you're inside the borders of America, where they're the majority, they have the power, they have the police, they have the military, they have the courts, everything backing them up, you are absolutely freaking useless and you cannot do anything about it. And so you're going to tell me that having an independent state on the African continent is a gentleman's agreement. So look, let's agree to disagree. We say America, for the next couple of generations, America is going right wing. I see it like that. Even the same liberal whites that you see complaining now, when their economic situation gets a little better, they're going to go right back into, if we can't beat them, join them. And black people are going to be left out in the cold.
Right. Listen, brother, I don't want to go this long, so
I'm grateful for
you to come on, and I'm glad for everything that you said, and I agree 1,000%. But it's my first show back, so I'm going to bounce. Thank you for being here. Thank you for adding your thoughts. And hopefully we can get you back on Tuesdays.
This business is kicking my butt, man. I'm up every day at 5 o'clock in the morning, man, working all day. And once this business gets started rolling a little bit and everything like that, I'm about to start bringing my first employees on, you know?
Let me say this before I go. And I had to learn this myself. Your calling is your calling, though. You know what I'm saying? And what happens is that we get so caught up in trying to secure a financial future for ourselves that we forget that which is our calling, and it kind of makes us miserable that we can't do the thing that we love to do. So, in other words, you see how you were spitting fire for that 5 to 10 minutes that you were just speaking. And all that stuff coming out of what that shows you.
It takes every bit of me not to get back on the radio. But if I do, I'm gonna go all out and I'm gonna start. You know, I just have to get this off the ground a little bit more.
That's my point, though, brother. That's my point. You don't have to. You just have to come check in and give enough to satisfy yourself. That's why if you listen to the beginning of the show, I said I'm not necessarily gonna come back on Thursday. I'm gonna come back next week at a time that's convenient for me. You got to do this for the people, but you also got to do it for you. Because if your passion is the way it is, then what you're going to see is that you'll see when you come back. When you come back and you do one show, all you got to do is one show, and you're going to see how far that you was falling from not doing it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Become nationalist and you start speaking that message, it's in you, and you got to keep it going, or else it ends up turning on you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, like I said, I have to keep doing this because it's in my soul, you know? This is something deep down in my soul,
I want to lay down for the night. So let me get this last call in if they want to talk. Okay, thank you for calling.
All right, brother, please.
Yep. Peace. Caller from the 646, did you want to say something?
Hey, Brother Daoud, what's up?
Oh, I thought that was you. What's up, Matt? How you doing, big brother?
Good, I'm good. Fighting the, you know, cold. Got a little head cold, but I'm good. Great show tonight. You and Kala both brought the fire, and I love your analogies and comparisons that you used tonight to show being a child is and how to grow to be an adult.
So add on, big brother. Thank you. Add on.
I have nothing else to add on. You did it succinctly. And I know you got to go. So.
Well, let me go into your area real quick before we go, okay?
Sure.
So you have an example of, what's it called? You have the Steelers situation that everybody's talking about with Antonio Brown, a brother who's naturally gifted and talented, but is not necessarily that disciplined. Sees his experience and his trade as, I mean, you know, I'm pretty sure he takes care of his body. I'm pretty sure he disciplines himself to run his route so as he wouldn't be the best receiver in the game. But, Mac, what we often find, you and I, is that when we look at football, that those brothers who play wide receiver and get the attention that they get, they, like, 2 to 3 years out of the league, they broke. Or what ends up happening, unfortunately, is their body go downhill fast out of nowhere.
Right.
Like, you know, we got all of these examples like Chad Ochocinco, you got T.O., Now you got Antonio Brown, and what I'm afraid of is that this brother is going to go the same way as them. In other words, he's going to go downhill, and he's not going to have anything to show for it because all he did was be in the news. We understand that real successful people usually move in the shadows. What's your thoughts?
Right. Oh, you brought up a great thing we're going to talk about tomorrow on In the Paint. Antonio Brown, Odell Beckham, they like the spotlight. They like to be seen. Like you said, they're both great physical specimens. They both, you know, Odell Beckham is known as a great worker, great practice guy. You know, he comes to work. But you love the spotlight. Let's take a look at Atlanta's wide receiver, Julio Jones. Goes about his business.
Yep.
Superstar. Yep. What Odell Beckham and what Antonio Brown did prior to their games, I had discussions with people. They don't think what they did had an effect on the game. But when we see what happened, they both didn't shine. And it's because they put the spotlight on themselves instead of about the team. It was about them.
Right.
That's why they failed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Ocho Cinco is a prime example. Him and Tio, and they happen to be very close. Me. It's all about me. In the place to be, it's all about me. You got 52 other guys in the room, and it's about the team. It's about the brotherhood. It's about coming together as a unit, not you.
Right.
And that's what I see with those guys. And wide receiver is a physically demanding position, and we see guys, you know, I'm a New York Giants fan. We have some receivers who are really good, and, you know, Hakeem Nicks, Steven Smith. All those guys are gone. They faded. They flickered and failed, and the lights shut down on them real fast because they physically
weren't. What happened to Steve Smith, brother?
Not Steve Smith. I forget the guy on the Giants' name. He caught 100 passes. His last name is Smith, though.
It was Steven Smith, wasn't it?
Yeah, you're right.
He was in the first. I mean, we know not the Hall of Fame Steven Smith, but that Steven Smith, I think he came from USC, as a matter of fact.
Right. He had that microfracture surgery and was never the same again.
That's right.
Hakeem Nicks is out the league right now. Mario Manningham signed a future reserve contract, which is, we're going to see how you do in our summer program, and if you suck, you're gone.
Too bad.
What Antonio Brown did was he put the spotlight on himself, and you knew what your team was going to do. You're going to take him away as their number one option. And that has a ripple effect on what Pittsburgh did or tried to do as an offense. And when Le'Veon Bell got hurt, that was the game right there.
Exactly. That's too bad, man. So if you could, brother, plug your show. Let the people know what your show is, what times you come on, and days you come on, and you'll take us out of here.
In the Paint, the realest show in sports. We are on every Monday night at 9:30 p.m., Tuesday night at 9 p.m., and every Friday night at 9:30 p.m. I host the show with my brother, R. Jones, and my sister, Ivy the Queen. And basically, we try to go a different route than what is in regular media. And our show is the really show in sports.
It is, man. It definitely is. Like, we get on there, brother, and brothers and sisters, listen, you know, I've heard a lot of black people plug their shows, and their show is garbage. But you listen to In the Paint, man, and you will definitely come away with some powerful concepts. Like, you know, we talk about sports, man, but it always bleeds into other stuff. And Big Brother R is one of the most articulate brothers that you'll ever hear. And, you know what I'm saying, my man Max611 always has the facts and the stats and always has great context to any particular subject that we talk about with sports. And then myself and Holla calls in. Holla always adds the nationalist concept to it. So it's a beautiful show. It's definitely a beautiful show. It doesn't only deal with sports, but if you want sports, it has everything that you need. So, Max, thanks for coming on, my brother. I love you.
Thank you.
I'll try to be
love
there tomorrow. Actually, I got to work tomorrow night. So I won't be there tomorrow night, but probably Monday night I'll be with you.
Right, right.
And, yo, please
and
get
yo,
better.
And, yo, Kyler, we got to tell Kyler we got to plug his business.
Word, that's true.
You know, we got to plug that for them.
Yep. All right, big brother. You be at peace.
All right, you too. Peace and blessings.
Yep. That's what I do, brothers and sisters. I hope and pray that you enjoyed our show. As I came before, this is myself, Salam Alaikum, Hotep, peace, Black African power.